yo, yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin. I'm here with my man's
Jay.
And you are tuned in to Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world?
What's up, world?
So y'all know, man, we back right now with another episode of the podcast. Now, what I want to do before we get started and before I introduce you to this guy over here, I want to say rest in peace to DMX and rest in peace to Black Rob. DMX was a legend. Black Rob was a legend in his own right. And we lost two good people of hip hop.
Rest in peace.
No doubt. Now, usually what I do is I play one of my songs, but today we got a good conversation at the situation table. So what we going to do is we going to get into the conversations and we'll leave the music for another time. You know what I'm saying? So no doubt. So here we go. We back again. My man's Jay been doing this thing. So I've been doing interviews with people by myself because, you know, he doing his thing on the road, making his money. And so I want to introduce y'all to a guy that I've met who's in the filming industry. And he's going to tell you who he is and what his name and what he does and what he's bringing to the table today on the podcast.
Well, my name is Juan Quiñones. I'm actually a filmmaker by trade, but I've been working as an artist since I was 15. I've been an illustrator, cartoonist, storyboard artist, and I've been working in film since 1993. I've worked in big and small productions. I've been a director, cable puller, producer, everything you could possibly imagine. And what I bring to the table is a unique voice.
He said a unique voice. Not as unique as mine, but it'll work. It'll work. All right. So, what we want to get into, first and foremost, I want to give y'all a take of what y'all think about DMX, the late, great DMX, rest in peace. What is your take? What first time you heard a DMX record, you know, just give me your take a little bit on DMX.
Well, you know, I was born in the 80s, so, of course, you know, DMX was big in the 90s when I was a teenager, you know. I know all in my area, everybody was bumping it, you know.
No doubt.
He was just all the way live. He brought that strong energy. And I know, I know New York feeling it because that's one of their own, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
Man, that was a legend, you know.
My guy, Mike?
Well, actually, when I came to the States, I got into hip-hop big time.
No doubt.
Let
people know where you're from, by the way.
I'm actually Colombian. I came.
Escobar in the motherfucking building. This cousin is in the goddamn building. Where the cocaine at? Hey, we just playing. We know this is a. I know I done broke the top 200. I'm just playing, okay? I want my shit to keep going up. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, so I came to the States and I discovered basically hip hop. You know, I came in '86, and there was very few artists that you could actually tell and they were truthful in their lyrics, you know, and, you know, Public Enemy, NWA, you know, and there's a few, but when I listened to DMX, he just kind of like had this sound that it was like, you couldn't stop.
Listen.
But yeah. You had to be doing something.
I don't care what you say. You're right. You put a DMX track on.
You had to do something. You had to act tough and everything. I could tell you right now, I actually was in the police car chase listening to a DMX. I didn't get caught. But it was one of those things that it was very raw, very truthful. And it just like you felt that the guy really lived whatever he was saying.
Yeah.
And that's the true mark of an artist.
Man, hey, I'm going to tell you about my take on DMX since I got that voice too. You know what I mean? And, you know, I can't do you know, like DMX. But, you know, no doubt, man, DMX, man, especially when it comes to another mold of Tupac, he was in his own lane. The man never needed validation. You know, he was always keeping it real from the jump. He told you about his drug use. He told about his demons. He never kept nothing from the people because in his mind, he lived for the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I respect DMX, man. And that's a true champion, man. Like when he was in Nashville, I wish I would have been able to go downtown and meet him. I know somebody that actually did get to meet him and he actually went to his house and he posted it on Instagram. I'm like, man, you got to talk to a legend, dog.
Yeah.
You don't even understand what he got. And And we want to say, you know, man, rest in peace, X, man. For
well,
real.
One of the things that it doesn't get discussed a lot is that artists, you know, me, I'm not a musical artist. I'm far from it. You don't want to hear me sing. You don't want to hear me play an instrument. Like,
no, don't
you
know. Don't do that. No.
But
not your thing.
He got bars.
Yeah. I'll dance the hell out of it, and I'll draw it, you know. But the thing is, like, we wear our demons in our sleeve. That's a tool that we use to write, draw, paint.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that pain.
And no doubt. We welcome our demons. And some people is like, oh, my God, I'm so depressed. And you're like, I'm so depressed. Wait, let me see. That line.
No doubt.
And sometimes it is very hard to get out of that room of those demons. And I have friends that have gone really bad into really deep holes because they were not able to control their demons or their emotions that well. And I have to say, you know, 12 years ago or something like that, I gave in to my demons. I was very depressed. I had to end up going to some help and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
The therapist.
Yeah, a therapist.
I remember something too, what the therapist is. If you take the therapist and you separate the words, what they
it's
do.
The rapist.
The rapist.
No, but.
They rape you bad.
No, but it did help me. I mean, it did help me, talk about certain things. Because we, as artists, we don't talk about our emotions. We don't talk about
them. No, we just basically write them out, or we draw them out, or we put it out in art, but we don't really just, you know. But sometimes when we try, you know, some people just don't, they don't get it. And I'm glad that we're talking about this, because this will bring us to our first thing at the situation table, where we're going to get on religion, and religion, the way of life, whatever you want to call it, and I'm going to tell you what I call it. I call it the way of life. Now, what I want to say about this, since you was talking about people that wear their demons on their, you wear your demons on your sleeves, or, you know, some people wear their feelings on their sleeves. So let's get in this conversation, because I know before we started this podcast, we was getting in a conversation.
Yeah, it was heating up.
Yeah, it was heating up a little bit. And we was talking about Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we was talking about me being a Sunni Muslim, and we were talking about Mr. Mike over here saying he's an atheist because he used that word, because there's no other word other to define what he say that it is. Now, what I want to say is this right here. I ain't got nothing against Christians. Yeah, I have nothing against Christians. I got nothing against Judaism, Buddhism. Whatever you do is whatever you do. This is my thing, okay? Now, me being a Muslim and you being basically just a guy that practiced the teachings of
honorable.
Yeah.
So
you know, like, remember, so let me ask you a question about this. So now, when we talk about people talking about
let me ask you a question before, and this may sound stupid or whatever.
No, go ahead. You gotta ask your question.
You know, because I don't know enough about Muslim.
Islam.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is a your religion and your religion kind of like saying Methodist and Baptist type of thing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're yeah. Still, yeah. Still yeah.
Still
yeah. Pretty much.
The same,
umbrella.
Same thing.
It's kind of like saying this. It's kind of like saying, okay, you got Christians, you have Baptists, but then you have Catholics.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? It's like, okay, they more onto the Virgin Mary more than they are Jesus. But, you know, the Baptists are more the Baptists and Jesus. And you know, the Catholic Church is a little different. So it's kind of like me being Sunni Muslim, we follow Prophet Muhammad. Okay? Him practicing.
Peace be upon him.
Yeah, peace be upon him. No. So when it comes to, I think, what is FOI?
The fruit of Islam.
Yep, FOI. They more on basically black people. You know, the teachings Minister Farrakhan, which they used to come to the prisons when we was at the prisons, and some of the brothers would come and they talk to us. Mm-hmm. And what I don't like about what people say about Minister Louis Farrakhan is when they say, well, look, Mr. Louis Farrakhan, he's a racist. All right, they say
that's
he's
the
a racist.
Thing they gonna say about
all right, now the reason why they're gonna say he's a racist, just why the same reason they're gonna say Dr. Umar Jackson is a racist. I don't know if you listen to Dr. Umar Jackson.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, now they speak from pro-blackness, okay? So they speaking from being black, how it actually supposed to be in a way. Now, this coming from a guy that got biracial children, there's a relationship with a white woman, okay? So I understand exactly where they're coming from. I understand exactly mm-hmm. why the attack is on the black man, okay? So I can listen to Umar Jackson. I can listen to Minister Louis Farrakhan. Doesn't mean I got to take every single thing that they speak about as the truth, because it's a falsehood in everything. I don't care what book you read, it's a falsehood. You have to read between the lines.
Well, my problem with anything that is pro something or against something, okay, is that they're alienating other groups. I have no problem whatsoever. Seriously, I don't mind people being pro black, pro women, pro Hispanic, pro whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that means that we're grabbing our own culture and we're pushing it to be better. What I do have a problem is, like, for example, when people talk about the film industry being so white, it goes, okay, so let's go ahead and create a black company and let's only hire black people. And it's like, no. You're doing the same thing they're doing. You're not doing, you're showing that what is it, that if the shoe was in the other, on the other foot, you would behave the same thing.
Okay, what's your take on that?
Well, on that take,
and Minister Louis Farrakhan and Muslims and.
Well, what I think is, that's the way people feel when they see, you know, somebody black come and say, I'm gonna do this, but it's been like that forever. What we only got, speaking about black people, we only, you know, been on a successful far back as we can remember, 20, 30 years. So why would anybody be offended by them saying, well, I'm only going to hire black? The same thing they did with the president. We had one black president. Of course we all going to vote for him. It didn't mean nothing at all. But if I could vote, I would have voted for him too, only because he was black, because we had all the presidents white. I mean,
I didn't vote for him. Well, the first time I couldn't vote because I wasn't a citizen yet, but I wasn't going to vote for him. On the second time, I thought he did an awesome job, and I voted for him.
Now, where you come from, when you talk about black separating from white, you know what I'm saying? It's just no different from religion, no different from the way of life. You know, Muslims, Christians, Buddhism, atheists, everybody is still trying to be in their own lane. Now, you have some that go out and be like, no. You know, you can go to certain mosques and they like, hey, come on, I want to teach you.
Well, the Buddhists include everybody.
Yeah, they do. Don't get me wrong. They do include everybody. But what I'm saying, they still have their own. It's like, okay, look, this is it. And I'm going to tell you why. All right, now, you want to talk about the Asian people that got businesses, okay? They bring their own. They nurture their own. That's why you can go and have a Chinatown. Right? Umar Jackson talked about this.
Hold on.
Before you stop, okay. Let me say one thing. All right, let me ask you a question. You can go to Miami, okay? Umar Jackson talked about this. You can go to Miami right now. You have La Havana. Am I right? Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
You got La Havana. You got a Cuban neighborhood where it's all Cubans and they celebrate.
Little Havana is no longer Cuban.
It's not only Cuban. I know what
it's not Cuban
Puerto
anymore.
Rican, right? It ain't Cuban anymore. I know because we've been down there. I get what you're saying. But they still have the what the word I'm looking for. They still have that. This is Cuba, you know what I mean? Even though it's not, but they still got, we went to some of the ice cream shops that was Cuban. We drank the Cuban coffee, and you know what I mean? It's still La Havana, okay? You can go to Chinatown. You can go to Korean town. You can go to fucking every other motherfucker, Italian town. Where can you go Where is the black town? Why we ain't got nothing iconic like that? Why can't you go somewhere and be like, oh, this is black people's town, black people's city? No, we don't have that. I don't care what you say. I'm going to let you say what you got to say. I'm going to let you read. But you can go to New York and they got a Chinatown. You can go to L.A., they got a Chinatown. You go, what, like, where our shit at? You know why we ain't got nothing? Because when we were brought to this country, we was less than nothing. We was never meant to be part of what's going on now. And that's why when we came with the Black Wall Street in Oklahoma, guess what they did?
Why do you think they fucked it all up? Why do you think there's Chinatown?
Well, you know why it's Chinatown? Because they pushed for it. You know, they one thing about them, they stuck together too.
I'm gonna add to that.
All right.
It's about the education. You know, they have financial literacy. You know what I'm saying? The majority of black people now, like, look at all the rappers, basketball players, athletes who go through all this money. A lot of men are broke. You're not going to say that about anybody in the Asian community or any of these other culture community because they are being taught about, you know, the value of the dollar and their culture and everything is being taught versus our culture is not being taught to us. You can get somebody that's a mogul or whatnot. They gonna bring somebody in, give them. Only thing they gonna do is give them millions of dollars, and then you know, and they really gonna like blood suck them. You know what I'm saying? They gonna.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. The reason that there's a Chinatown is because Chinese were discriminated. Why there's a Little Italy?
Yeah.
Is because the Italians were discriminated. Why there's an Irish neighborhoods? It's because the Irish were discriminated. If you look at history, you're right.
But they were able to do that, right? When we tried to do that, they burnt it to the fucking ground.
Kill you.
No, let's be honest. Yeah. We tried to do the same thing in Oklahoma with Black Wall Street, Greenwood. If you know the history, what the fuck did they do? They came in that motherfucking town and killed over 4,000 black people and said, fuck that. Y'all too successful. We gonna fuck this shit up and burn it down to the motherfucking ground. And every single time that black, let me tell you something. Look, I got Asian homeboys. But can I be honest with you? A lot of Asian people do not like black people. They don't.
They just like their dollar.
They like the money. I'm just being honest. You can go to L.A. You can go to New York. You can go to Chicago. You can go right down off fucking Lafayette in Nashville. And they own the wishy-washy right there. And they own the hair store right there. So when you try to come up in that motherfucker, they're going to be like, oh, shit. Like, and guess what?
Them the only ones that's spending the money.
Overseas and stuff. Look what they was doing with the Africans in China. You know what I mean? Look how they were discriminated against them. And guess what? And they so blunt about it. You know what I mean? And I was listening to Dr. Umar Jackson, and he was like, when I went to China, they told me, hey, no black people can come in here. Like, they don't have it. No black people can't come in this club. So he couldn't even go in there because he was black. So and that's just what it is. We are not just discriminated against in America.
No, I mean, you guys have the shitty... Because the thing is, like, here's the problem, okay?
Can you ask me that question, though?
What?
When they tore down our towns and stuff, they didn't tear down Chinatowns. They didn't tear down the love. And they let them keep what they got. So you know what they do with us? And you see it. They call us African-American. And that's the most bullshitted shit in the world.
I agree.
And they come and they be like, well, guess what? This is what we're going to do. Look what they're doing in Nashville. We're opening an African-American music. Shut the fuck up. Like, what? So you going to put this on Broadway so we can say, okay, we gave y'all something. No, fuck that. You know what I mean? I think that's some bullshit. I think it's just a way. And then what really gets me is that a lot of these black people, man, they get behind the most dumbest shit.
Well, I do. I gotta tell you. I agree with you, but I disagree with you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. The reason is because we had this conversation the other day where I think it's ridiculous for a black guy to be called African-American. That's the dumbest shit in the world.
What you think?
Hold on. Before I tell you why. Because the thing is, like, you are an American, okay? I am Colombian American.
Yeah.
Because I have two citizenships. I am Colombian and I am an American. I am a hyphen. Okay? My children, if they were born here, they are American with a Hispanic descent. Okay? They're not Hispanic American. No, they're Americans. Why? Because they're neither more or less than being American.
Yeah.
Okay? And for me, the whole, and whatever, and I'll respect anybody that wants to be called African American. That's fine. Whatever. That's your thing. Fine. But to
so
me,
what about the real African American? I want to get your take on this.
I was going to do is ask another question. Well, what's the difference in saying you African American or saying you Black American? You still categorize.
Well, check this out. Okay, so you listen to Farrakhan, right?
No, he don't
agree with that African American thing.
Right.
Right. How can you be multicultural? So this is the thing. I don't call myself a Black American. You are never even, matter of fact, have you ever heard me say, hey, I'm a Black American?
No, you're an American.
No, I don't even say I'm American. I don't even preach that shit. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard me say that shit? You've been knowing 15. I don't even preach that shit. But you know why I don't say nothing about it? Because I know if I do say certain shit, people are not going to understand.
Right.
Look, nigga, I'm Black, nigga. I'm Black. My ancestors are from Africa. That's it. You get what I mean? First and foremost, I changed my name from Antonio Deshaun Lowe, which was slavery shit. First and foremost, Antonio comes from the Spaniards. First and foremost, I don't know where the fuck Deshaun come from, but I know exactly where Lowe come from, slave plantation. Now, so if I'm going to change my name to take it back to my ancestors and to carry the name of not just only Islam, but of coming from the Arabic and
African
nation.
How far do you want to go back?
But this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. So why would I say I'm a Black American? So I'm going to carry the American name, which is fucking the same goddamn difference. It's the same thing. If I say American, which his name was, which America, it wasn't discovered by Christopher Columbus. Well, I don't know how the fuck they keep teaching that dumbass shit in school, but it wasn't discovered by him. But the guy that America is named after, his last name was
America was pussy.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Okay, that's what it was named after of him. Okay, so this is the thing.
You know why?
But that's another thing. That's a long story. But I'm just saying, I know my history, so I'm not gonna carry that either. You get what I mean? I ain't my fault I was born here. Okay, but I know what I can do. I can go from now and forward. That's why my son, he gonna carry that name. You know what I mean? I'm gonna let him know. Look, you Black. You Black. You can say you African also. I'm gonna say what, and this is the reason why I'm gonna say that. And what I mean saying he's African, I'm not saying that he was born in Africa, okay? That ain't what I'm saying. But representing the African nation, that's basically what I mean by that. And I'm not saying in the terms of you Colombian because you was born in Colombia. You know what I mean? For example, let me give you an example about this. Somebody came to me and told me that Puerto Rican was a fucking race. I said, what color are you? No, seriously. I said, "What?" I didn't ask him what nationality he was. I said, what color are you? He said, oh, I'm Puerto Rican and Black. First and foremost, Puerto Rican is not a race. It's mixed of many different races. You can say the natives, the Black, the whites, and the Spaniards is a mixed of races. It's like Colombia, or if you want to go to Haiti.
Yeah, but the reason that he was saying that is because...
Because he...
No.
But he don't know either. He don't know.
No. When it comes to Puerto Ricans, this is something very true. They hold their identity very close to them. They know that they're a mixture between Boricuan, which is the Indians, Native Americans, a native from that era.
Natives, call them natives.
Natives.
They hate Native Americans.
Yeah. And they're a mix of different things. And it wasn't all about colonization. We're talking about an island where there's sports. And where there's sports, there are vast amount of what is it, of races. And so when they say they're Puerto Rican, they're saying it's like, I'm a milkshake, dude. There's no, like, definement of who I am on that aspect. Oh, by the way, and also, you know.
Hey, but, you know, that's true, okay? That's true. But when I told him that Puerto Rican wasn't a race, he was like, yes, it is. And that's what I'm saying. What they're teaching, I don't know what they teach everywhere else, okay? But what they're teaching in America is, this is what they're teaching in America. Let me put some stuff on you. One, if you're a Muslim and you do something, you're a terrorist. Okay. All right, they teaching that shit in the fucking media every day. Let me ask you a question. I want to say something. The motherfucking guy, Dylan Roof, which was back then, whatever, when he went to go shot up the damn, that black church, did they call him a Christian extremist?
Oh, let me give you a better one.
Did they?
No. I'll tell you this.
The guy at Sandy Hook, did they call him a Christian? But let it be a Muslim, like when that Muslim brother, I'm gonna say they went and shot up the gay club. You remember that in Florida,
In Orlando,
the Pulse for sure.
Okay, they called him a terrorist. He was a terrorist.
Was he a Muslim?
Yeah, he was a Muslim. And let me say something though. Now I'm gonna say this, and I know this is gonna be very controversial. Hey, Apple Podcast, please keep me in the top 200. Nah, fuck, I don't give a fuck. Take me out of it. I don't give a fuck. This is what I'm going to say. When that happened, okay, it was a homosexual club, and I'm just speaking from the Islamic religion. You know what I mean? The Islamic way of life, the way of life, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what practice, okay? We know that homosexuality is not permitted in the mosque or in Islam.
Right.
All right? Now, they said that, if I'm mistaken, that God told him to do this. That's what he said. You know, Allah told him to do this. Just like the guy, the white guy that went to the abortion clinic, was that in California, I think it was, and he shot that up. He said, God told me. Now, I'm just playing the devil's advocate right here, okay? I'm just giving my opinion. Who are we to say what high power told them anything? I'm just saying, and this is why I say that, because, let me get a little bit on the Christians right now, because this is what I'm saying. A Christian will come to me, because my sister, she's a diehard Christian, okay? Now, a Christian will come to me and say, oh, you know, God's sending these signs, God doing this, God doing that. Okay, now how you know God didn't tell this man to go to the abortion clinic because they're killing what he's creating, and hey, put a stop to it. I need you to be on that front line. How do they know? Because you want to know, God is not just good. Because I don't give a damn what book you read, and I know you're an atheist, but period. It's good and balanced. I mean, good and evil. It's a balance, right? And if you believe in God, Allah, Jehovah, whatever you want to call him, and you know that he will bring down the wrath is punishment, okay? How you think he's going to bring down a wrath? He's not going to just bring it down through the weather. He's going to go through people.
Here's the thing.
You know?
He's going to ride on a cloud.
No, yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the reality of things. Okay?
You listen a lot. You ain't really doing too much speaking what this is time.
If you grab any book of religion, I don't care what religion you're going to put in. All
right.
There's going to be a misunderstanding of what it is being said. That homosexuality is a abomination or whatever, it's a sin, all this kind of stuff. And they nitpick on that one. But they don't nitpick about, wearing clothes of different threads. Or working on the Sabbath. And it's punishable by death.
So is gluttony too.
So it's punishment by death.
That's true.
We're gonna go ahead and nitpick on the things that are political in the system, and that's the only thing that God talks about.
No.
So how come we don't have a shootout on a fat clinic? Why don't we have a shootout on a farm that planted two crops right next to each other?
Yeah, No. I understand what you're saying, right? So, it's basically saying this right here. Okay, if God tell you do not damage the temple, right? And this is the thing. A preacher or anybody, you know, if you're a preacher or whatever, they'll go up and say, so you're smoking them trees. You're doing this. You're doing that. But hold on, motherfucker. You don't push the plate back when you eat. You know what I mean? So you want to speak on the damage of the temple body, but you want to speak about yo ass fornicating or yo ass doing gluttony because you talk about the seven deadly sins.
Okay, so how come we don't have a shootout on a divorce?
Exactly. What is
a divorce court?
Yeah, you know why? You know why? Because like you said, which is true.
We're nitpicking.
And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate again, and I'm just keep it real. Everybody does that. I don't give a fuck what religion follow. You don't got nothing to follow. So, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, most people, they do that. They'll say, you know, what's good for the geese, not good for the goose, whatever, however they sound go. But what I'm saying is, they'll say something like, okay, I can smoke cigarettes, but you can't smoke weed. What the fuck? That don't even make sense.
No, here's the thing.
It really doesn't. But, you get what I mean? No, really, like a pastor will look at me wrong for smoking weed, but ain't got shit to say because when he's on his break, you know what I mean? And I'm not a Christian anymore, but I'm just speaking what I saw growing up. Well, on your break, you're going to go out there and fry up a fucking Newport. What the fuck? What?
But everybody, here's the thing. When we talk about, you know, when people talk about it, it's like, religion being the truth. The truth of
what? Hold on for one second. Let me get your take on this.
On which part we the went a million places?
No, your take on the religion aspect, what we've been talking about, and then your take on black people not getting the rightful stuff that I feel like we should have got, but fuck that. You know, we going to get it now. You know what I mean? But what's your take on that?
Well, so far as the religion side, like I say, you can't say what is we talking about beliefs. See, like, for instance, you can sit here and say you believe something all the time, but if it ain't something that's actual and factual, you know, it ain't going to weigh up. For instance, I believe my light's going to stay on if I don't pay the bill. If you don't pay that bill, them lights going to get cut off because somebody going to come turn them off because you ain't paying them. But you believe they going to stay on because you got faith in God and this, that. I got all this faith. But like I say, this just my opinion in the way I think, though, it's really not a truth. If it ain't something that's concrete, you can't say it. Like, we know this is actual and factual. It's hard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is real. But, man, that belief, you know, if I told you I had an imaginary friend that I talk to every day, and they told me I'm going to be rich, you know.
Yeah.
What would you think about me if I said that?
Me? I'd be like, yeah, because I'd be having motherfuckers talking to me all the time.
I think it was, what was it, Hicks, that he actually said is like arguing about religion is talking about who has a better imaginary friend.
Yeah. All right, but then we'll get that, though. If I told you that, man, I got an imaginary friend that I talk to every day. He told me I'm going to get rich.
I'll be honest. I'll think you're crazy. Yeah. But here's the thing. If it's making you work better, if it's making you a better person, then I'm like, fuck it. Listen
to that motherfucker.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, here's the problem that I have with anything. With addiction, with habits, with friendships, all this kind of stuff. If it's not making you a better person, drop it.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
What is it?
And you know what? Honestly,
and I gotta tell you this, and I'm gonna be honest with you. Okay, when I met you, you were telling me about your past, and I was like, oh fuck, yeah, this is bullshit. I can't believe this is gonna happen. I'm talking to a guy who spent 7 years in jail, who has all this past and whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. Let me listen to what he has.
So basically, you stereotyped me at first.
No. I wasn't a stereotype.
Okay. Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead. Finish. I want to hear this.
So, but then, I start seeing what you were doing. You know, every single day that I met you, okay, every time I talk to you, your purpose is to be a better person.
Yeah.
Okay? And that to me, I was talking to my wife the other day, and she was like, is he paying you the right? I'm like, that's not the point to me. The point to me is that whatever he is smoking, you know, he's making himself better. And I want that. More than money. Still sign my paychecks, okay?
I do pay.
No, but
I still pay him, y'all. Shit, I know it ain't the big pay, but go
but
I appreciate that man for standing up.
No, and the thing is like, and it's one of those things that you know I could go ahead and say, oh, this N word, whatever. He's like bullshit. All this kind of stuff that I'm sure people has dismissed you.
Oh,
you know, but you're a Muslim. Ew, is making you a better person. You're an ex-con. Oh fuck, it made you a better person.
Yeah.
You sold drugs. Oh man, dude, guess what? It made you a better person. Okay. Everything that you're doing right now, I admire you, man. In the short time that I've known
you.
I admire you because whatever you've taken, you go like, this is bullshit, get rid of it.
Yeah.
If what is it? If this is working, I'm going for it. And it's like, I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care Christian, that you're all this kind of stuff. I don't care about that. I care that you're doing this. You're doing a fucking podcast. You're doing shows. We're shooting a movie. We're doing all this kind of stuff. You know how many people I know that have the right thing and the right path, and the only thing is a jerking off and telling you of like, oh, I'm a filmmaker, you know?
Just talking about that earlier today.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, I like people that put their cards on the table and go, I fold or whatever, I got to play until I die. You know, and that's the way
That's what I was explaining to him. Like, I've been knowing him for a while, and we actually lived together, and we went to prison, and we lived together in the same cell. Yep. Also, okay.
Should I dim down the lights and bring out a candle?
Nah, but it was so easy.
What's there sparkling in his eyes?
None of that. I done did everything under the sun except for disrespected an old lady and slept with a man.
Yeah, okay. No doubt.
Everything else.
You were awake.
Hold on. You ain't raped nobody either, right?
Hey, never.
You got to put that in there, too.
Nah, of course I ain't never raped nobody. Never slept with a man. Never disrespected.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm really glad that you told me that because, honestly, and it lets me know who I got to keep around me. And like I said, it's about who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Like when I met you, matter of fact, I told my girl, I said, you know what she said? So, Mike, and I said, you know what? It's crazy, man. I did a show, and the only person showed up was Mike.
And I had 100.
And he had just got his, like, second shot for the COVID, and he was hurting. And he showed up.
I had a fever.
Yeah, he had a fever. He still left a little early, but he got everything that we needed, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, we went to this other spot. Guess what? He showed up, and that shit was... We ain't going to speak on that. But, he showed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? This is a good guy. This is a guy that I need to work with. This is a guy I got to keep around me. I don't know why he ain't reached another plateau. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I don't know. I know he's been here, been in the industry for 23 years, but I'm thinking to myself why he's not getting the $1 million checks. You know what I mean? I'm like, dang, you know, I don't know, right? But I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. We gonna do it then.
Yeah.
Like if whatever happened before, okay, well, we gonna do it then. So we gonna get a whole outlook on something totally different, mm-hmm. and we gonna push it to another level. And honestly, when we talk, just like me and you used to do, you know, We have our opinions, and we'll get into it with each other. But at the end of the day, it's all respect, right? So, you know, we'll have our little things about, man, you know, I think you should do that. I'm like, no, nah, man, I'm trying to do that. No, nah, hell, nah, I ain't doing that. You know, but I took some of his advice when we actually got to filming. Yeah. All right? So just remember, I was saying a lot of stuff, and then, but then when we actually got in there, and when we got, he's like, man, you might want to add this. I'm like, you know, yeah, you're right. Then he grabbed some food, some other things. Like, man, we add that. I'm like, yeah, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. You feel me? Because sometimes you got to have it in front of you sometimes. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, hey, what I mean? I even spoke up with the police.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Hold on. AJ, I'm about to tell you something. Oh, my God. I forgot about that, dog. Jay, matter of fact, Jay, give me your take on how you feel about people, how you feel about if a person got a different religion and stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you this story. We're going to get to our last segment.
Well, me, like I say, just I grew up this way. I never judged a book by its cover, you know. It's even like from when me and you first met, regardless of how our situation was, which was wretched on both ends, we never even looked at that, you know. I mean, man, how we met, the average people wouldn't even, you know, even kick it, you know what I'm saying, but what we was going through in life at that time. But nah, it's just how I grew up. I never judge a book by its cover. I ain't gonna look at you and say this or that. I'm gonna wait until you know, present it to me and then go from there. I just don't never judge a book by its cover.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this story because our time coming up a little bit. So let me, I'm gonna tell you about the story real quick. So we was in the shooting the film, and then we had a knock on the door, and it's the police. Okay, just let me remind you, some Christian people, that's who I think did. I could be wrong, but they came by and they knocked on the hotel door, like, oh, we giving food. Okay, I had a PA that was there. He looks young. He's 23, but he looks like he's about 16.
Well, not only that, he also looked like East Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. And he looked like up, and we in his old, real Merhardin place, this rundown-ass hotel, you know, prostitutes and all that, and we shooting this film. And it's so funny, he knocked on the door, six cops.
Okay, so and we opened the door.
Like,
we
heard
an executive.
No, we was at man, it ain't even got a name on the sign.
It used to be Motel.
Motel 6,
right next to
right there by Jack in the Box.
Yeah, behind Hooters.
Yeah, the one.
Right next door to it.
Yeah, but they said we heard there's a minor in here. What? So
okay. No, but you're skipping something. Okay, so here's the thing. So how tall are you? 6'3", right?
No, I'm 6'4".
6'4". Okay, so there's this 6'4" black guy, muscle type, right?
And then our actor, black guy, he's big too.
And then there's this little skinny police officer, you know, very cute girl.
Yeah,
you know, like 5'4".
And when I open the door, I'm just towering over her.
Yeah.
And guess what? All the men are standing on this side.
Yeah.
And then behind Joaquin, there's the actor in his underwear, lights, me holding the camera.
And then the
what
white.
Is it? Tom, which is the
white guy, he comes around the corner.
He's on his knees looking at something, looking as East Nashville as you could ever be. Yeah. You know?
It looked like it was a porno set.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
And then they were like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Because we got the light.
Yeah.
He on the ground. He in his drawers. After he got the camera, I'm like, oh, man.
We and heard there's a minor. A juvenile. There was a juvenile.
And then we had beer bottles everywhere, like for props. So it's beer bottles everywhere. And then this, he comes out and say, I'm 23. I'm like, it was so funny. But it was. I've never experienced. I wish we could have got that on camera, bro.
Yeah.
That would have been TikTok.
Even the cops started laughing.
They started laughing. Yeah, they like, oh man. And I think it was them people that brought us that.
Oh thing. Yeah.
Because they was. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and another thing is like we never hit anything. We were like,
yeah.
I actually came out and said, you know, you're welcome to come in, check it out, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I actually worked with the police department and doing PSAs a long time ago. You could ask Sergeant whatever, Sergeant this, Sergeant whatever. You could ask what it was. And they were like, oh, okay, cool, you know. And I was like, I got to throw in that in there just because I didn't want any gun drum.
Yeah, you got to think, nigga. Now I'm a big black, and I'm like, man, you know, it was like really literally six of them.
Yeah, six of them.
Literally, bro.
But
no lie, nigga.
Yeah, as big as any police officer was there, you still had Joaquin going, I'm a foot taller than you guys, motherfuckers.
Yeah. I bet I'm the writer, producer, director. Look this up, man. Google this shit.
Yeah.
Okay. No. All right, but hey, look. So let's get to our last segment of the day, man. And y'all know how we do. The name of this segment is called Brutally Honest. It's basically we ask a question, and you give us your brutally honest answer about it. And if you don't, you know, I'm a rag your ass because I think you're lying. All right, so the question today, which is coming from my guy, Jay. Do you want to give him the question?
I'm going to let you give it to
him. All right, here you go. So, look, have you ever
stole
money? Have you ever, you already said yes. Have you ever stole money from the employer you was working for? Have you?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Get a short, brief situation. Do you really want to do that now?
I mean, it was, I actually, like, shit, oh, my God.
What, 30 years ago?
No, I was, what was it? I'm trying to remember which one I could talk about.
Hold on, man. Make sure you ain't stole shit from me. Let me
make sure. Well, there was one time at a hotel. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn. Oh, man. Okay. Let me go get that yolk.
No, it was actually, what was it? I worked for Pizza Hut or something like that. And I just didn't turn in a delivery. A delivery. Like, they paid cash, and I was like, they didn't want it. They said, you know, but fuck it. I was like, hey, I put it in. I was just like,
hey, Kevin, move. Hey, when you're an atheist, you can do that.
No, I felt really bad. I went to church afterwards. And stole the money case.
Oh, man.
I ain't gonna lie. Okay.
Well, man, this was funny, man. It actually was my first job ever. I used to work at KFC, man. And, you know, I was a cashier. And, man, we was in the ghetto. We used to have people coming through. Everybody, you know, cars weren't real big back then.
Yeah.
You know, it was strictly cash on everything. So most people in the neighborhood, they used to always come and get this one thing, like a three-piece and a biscuit. And it always came up to, like, I can't remember. It's been so long ago, like, four and some change, and I had it down to a penny. And you know, in the ghetto, everybody gonna always come with the exact change every time. So, man, it got to the point where, man, 15 people come through the line, I already have the total come up. And what I do before I ring it up, when they get to the window, I'm like, and sometimes I have five orders in my head, too.
Yeah.
Cop pull up, I see him pull out the dollars. I'm like, oh, yeah, I ain't ringing it up. Pull that money out, have everything ready, straight in the pocket. Like every week, I bet it come there been about $300 extra from their ass.
You know, it's so funny, man, because I remember when you used to cuff back in the day.
Come on. Oh, yeah.
$100 there, $100 there. He won't miss it,
man. All right,
sure. Yeah, that was we were playing some games back then.
For real.
Well, okay, let me see. I'm gonna be honest with you. Okay, if I ever stole, man, look, man, I done stole from so many that I can't give y'all specific one. But I'm gonna tell you one thing. If y'all want to say church as an employer, you know what I mean. That, you know,
man, I know you ain't stole from the church.
Oh, yeah, I stole from the church. I cannot. Oh, I'm going to tell you what I did, okay?
Is he
not? I hope my grandmama did that. Anyway, this is up there. But anyway, the collection plate. It was coming around and stuff, you know. Yeah, you know, it is what it was, man. You know how when they bring it, they get back to the ushers and stuff, and then they take it to the bank and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I went on, dipped out, and, you know, boom. But I was working for the church also. You know, I was doing some things for the pastor and stuff. And,
the church.
And when I say I cuffed, I cuffed. Old people give a lot of money in them envelopes.
Yeah.
Hundreds of dollars. So, yeah, I stole from a church. And, you know, I didn't get struck down, so maybe I was in the wrong religion. All right, look, man, we going to get up out of here on this podcast right here, man. Y'all know what's going on. If y'all want to go check this podcast out, man, on YouTube, man, y'all type in Heat Level Podcast. If y'all want to see it on Spotify, we on every Apple Podcast. Y'all make sure y'all check it out. If y'all want to go check out my music, y'all know what to do. It's Joaquin TV. That's Y-Q-E-E-M TV. That's W-Y-Q. Eric. Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. So y'all already know what's up. So y'all make sure y'all go check that out. And if y'all want to be on Spotify and y'all want to do me on Spotify, y'all just type in Joaquin by itself. Don't put TV behind it. That's what dumb motherfuckers do. So y'all make sure y'all put Y-Q-E-E-M. That's W-Y-Q. Eric. Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. And I appreciate y'all for checking up on us. Jay, I appreciate you for being on the podcast, even though you've been gone for a minute. Mr. Mike, appreciate you being on podcast. And you know what's going on. And you know what I always say. I'm about this bitch.
Peace.